Here's Bob McKenzie. Do you think you'll be able to get through this one, Bob?
He's not even there.
He heard that. He's like, here's my out. I can hang up on these losers.
Did you do that on purpose, you dirty dude?
I could be talking to you just like this, and then right in the middle of a...
See you later.
See, I just hit the mute button for a minute.
Okay.
No, I think we'll be fine. And hey, you never know. I mean, it was a busy day. I mean, the Duchesne trade's obviously significant, not an insignificant transaction with Jensen going from Detroit to Washington and then signing the 4-year, $10 million extension, which kind of, Dregs was the man on the beat in the actual studio today. He had things covered off. But when I saw the return, a second-round pick in Madison Bowie for Jensen, I thought to myself, you know what? I got to figure that Washington's getting a deal done with him, because that would be a higher than normal rental price for Jensen as well as he's played this year. So good on Washington, good on Detroit, and away they go.
Well, as you mentioned, I mean, the biggest news was the Duchesne trade to Columbus. Fascinating on all levels, but for me, it's more interesting from the team who went out and bought in Columbus, because I think we've been bracing ourselves for them to be sellers. I mean, I know you said with us early in the week, at best 50-50 Panarin goes anywhere, but I mean, they're all in now, I guess, acquiring Matt Duchesne.
Yep, no doubt. And I think they'll continue to look at doing other things. Now, keep in mind, they're all in, but not crazy all in as if, like, oh, man, if we don't win the Stanley Cup this year, we're never going to win it. They've got a good young team. They're not going to, could they conceivably take steps back because Panarin and Bobrovsky are going to walk in the offseason? Absolutely they could. So there is a sense of, hey, let's maximize what we've got now. But they're not mortgaging the future so ridiculously large on that. And quite frankly, they're going to make a real hard run here at obviously doing well down the stretch and into the playoffs, but also convincing Matt Duchesne that it's in his best interest to sign and to have a prominent role on this team and ease the pain, perhaps, if Panarin goes out the door, or when Panarin goes out the door. Now, there's no guarantee here whatsoever, and they gave up a first-round pick. The two prospects they gave up are not bad prospects, but they're not guys that Columbus, couldn't live without. And so from their perspective, they're rolling the dice at a first-round pick and a conditional first if they were to sign. So giving up the two first-round picks and two B to B-minus prospects in Abramoff and Davidson, it's worth it for them to take a run here, both short-term and long-term.
Bobby, you've done a ton of games in Ottawa, sitting in that, our TSN panel booth there. Like, if there's a Duchesne video tribute... And I'm not, harping on the video tributes, but what do you actually see the reaction of the fan base to that video being? I mean, I can't see it being positive.
Well, for starters, I don't know. I guess there's two levels here. One is that what Duchesne represents, and what Duchesne represents is that they gave up the first pick, what might be the first pick in this year's draft, and that's never a good thing. And, and that part of it's not his fault. That part of it was, The Ottawa Senators decided, 2-3 months, whatever, or a month or two into the season, that they were going to double down on the fact that they went as deep as they did in the previous playoffs within a goal of the Stanley Cup final. And they were going to double down on that by going out and getting Duchesne and the Tourist deal and sacrificing their first round pick. Even though some would say, well, when they lost Mathod, it changed the dynamic. And even though they didn't have Carlson locked up long term, that they were, playing with fire. And so there's that element of it. Now, Duchesne chose not to stay. But you know what? I don't think the fans would necessarily hold Duchesne personally responsible for that, because I think there's enough fans in Ottawa who are not enamored of the owner that that they might be able to identify with what Matt Duchesne's decision was to want to play for a playoff team or potentially to go to free agency. And so, but in Ottawa, fans for the most part are actually, like most Canadian fans, they tend to be very polite. So I mean, if there was a Matt Duchesne video, I'm not sure that they would go crazy booing him per se, but to your point, there's going to be a lot of a lot of sour faces and bitterness over the fact that they made this Duchesne trade when they made it, and that they weren't able to lock him up long term, and that the rebuild is going to be even a little longer and more painful than it might otherwise have been if they were able to sign Duchesne and Stone.
I think it might be some confusion. They're like, we don't even know what to think of this guy. He showed up. We wanted to keep him here. Now he's gone. He didn't, couldn't, like, it's almost like a confused.
And they're now the worst team in the league with no future. Like, you know, yeah, they
and
got
the
prospects.
And the other two best players want to leave, too. It must be just, I don't know, it's a confusing state.
It's a disaster. As for Stone and Dzingel, though, like, Stone in particular, he's sitting atop the trade bait board. He's a stud. Which teams do you have circled here, Bob, that you think would really take a run at him?
Well, certainly the Winnipeg Jets. Certainly the Nashville Predators. See, the Predators had some interest in Matt Duchesne, but I think they had a lot more interest in Mark Stone. Calgary Flames, they have interest in Mark Stone. And I think the New York Islanders. I'm sure there are others. I mean, in the summer, there was every reason to believe that Colorado was really, really, really anxious to either try and do a deal with the Ottawa Senators for Matt Duchesne. For Mark Stone, not Duchesne. And there was even some talk leading up to the season that Colorado was going to offer sheet Mark Stone last summer. There was all sorts of rumors of that. It didn't happen. And as I said back then, that's when you know offer sheets were dead, because Stone was the absolute ideal candidate to offer sheet, because if the Sens matched the offer, they would not have been able to trade him at the deadline. They would have had to hold on to him until the end of free agency. So they almost certainly would have been leveraged in to either take the compensation for Stone or to do a deal with whichever team put up the offer sheet. So that, as I say, that didn't happen. So I don't know if Colorado, where they are right now, and the notion that this is a rental. And that's the complicating factor for everybody, is Mark Stone as a rental versus Mark Stone as somebody you can sign to a deal. And I don't think, and I could be wrong on this at this point in time, I don't think Pierre Dorion is sitting there in concert with Mark Stone and his representatives saying, you know, yeah, you can talk to other teams and let's see if we can get you an extension somewhere and we'll get more in the deal. I think they're just going to do what they did with Duchesne, and that is do a deal and then put in a conditional part that says, hey, if you re-sign this guy, we get X, Y and Z, or just X, or X and Y, or X, Y, and Z.
With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, we've been playing the Mike Babcock clip throughout the afternoon. Do you have that, Mulls? Why don't we refresh the memories of the audience here when he was asked about, you know, the message from the coach and the team to the GM, Kyle Dubas, and here's what Babcock said this morning.
You know, I've been through a lot of trade deadlines, and what I find every year is that if you can improve the team, the guys are all in. They want you to improve the team if you can. Now, the part for the coaches and the players is we got to do our part to push the GM into helping you.
So nothing new from Babcock. He said that when Lou was his GM, when Holland was a GM in Detroit. Yeah. But I would think the counter from Dubas would be July 1st we did that, and about 3 weeks we did that. You know, Tavares and Muzzin, I don't think you can sit here and suggest that Dubas hasn't helped this team grow and added to this team.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, coaches, any coach, and I'll say not any coach, every coach feels like Mike Babcock does. And then amongst the group of coaches, if you were to put like a pyramid together as to which coach would be even more obsessed with give me everything you possibly can, give me every tool in the toolbox, please, Mike Babcock would be right up there. I mean, he's a type A personality, and in Detroit, Kenny Holland's job was to try and manage Mike, because Mike wants what Mike wants, and he's not shy about admitting that. And it's the same here. And, you know, I guess Lou would wrangle Mike before, and now it's Kyle Dubas' turn. And that's just part of what you get when you get Mike Babcock. He wants the best of everything that he can possibly get, and he's going to push everybody hard to do it. And that's he pushes his players hard, and his history suggests that, and he would be the first to tell you that he likes to talk to his managers, he likes to have a strong relationship with them, but he also likes to challenge them and push them to make sure that they understand that he thinks they need this, 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 and this. Go out and get it. Let's go.
with Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. So maybe the biggest news in the NHL today actually is the suspension of Connor McDavid. He got suspended 2 games for a hit to the head of Nick Leddy last night. Later in the game, he scores the OT winner, of course. And the Oilers have issued a statement. Like this, I know teams always support their guy, but this speaks to the significance of the player and the importance of the player, because Bob Nicholson has issued a statement through the team saying, quote, "We are highly disappointed in the NHL's decision to suspend Connor McDavid for 2 games. We strongly disagree with the decision, and it is difficult to accept for our team and, most important, our fans at this critical point in our season. We will unequivocally support Connor as he explores his options."
What's the options? I don't understand.
What, the Supreme Court? Like, where are you going with
this?
Can
he appeal?
You can appeal it to Gary Bettman.
Sure.
If you choose. And, yeah. Good luck with that.
He's serving two games. Like, it's going to happen.
Connor McDavid's obviously a special player, and he's got special stature. And right now, I think the Edmonton Oilers want to make sure that they, in their mind, make sure that Connor knows they're supporting him and they're doing right by him. And Connor McDavid's the last guy in the world to want to go out and intentionally hit somebody in the head. I'm sure he didn't mean to do it. But I was on Winnipeg radio this morning, I was on Montreal radio this morning, and I was on Edmonton radio this morning, and I obviously got asked the question, do you think that Connor McDavid is going to get suspended? And my immediate response was, yes. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get 2 games, because 2 games is pretty much the standard fare for when the National Hockey League Player Safety Department believes you've delivered a hit that is almost entirely going directly into somebody's head, as opposed to executing a body-on-body hit. And as I said, I don't believe Connor McDavid was trying to take Nick Leddy's head off. He was trying to execute a body check, or even just to get in the way and separate the guy from the puck. But the line he took ended up being an awkward line, and unfortunately for McDavid, his shoulders struck Leddy in the head, did not catch enough of the body for them to be able to justify it. And let's be honest, you know, everybody says player safety will never suspend a guy like Connor McDavid. Well, obviously they did, but let's be honest. I'm sure they were looking at it and saying, what was he trying to do here? And, you know, is there a way to rationalize this? And at the end of the day, they said, no, there's not. And I'm sure they went through the same process when Andrew Cogliano made his hit. And got the 2-game suspension that ended his Ironman streak. And that they probably, the last thing in the world that George Parros wanted to do was suspend Andrew Cogliano and be the guy responsible for ending the streak. But his attitude was, well, you know what? That's a hit to the head that wasn't enough body on body to justify it. And Connor McDavid's hit on Leddy was a hit to the head that wasn't enough body on body to justify it. So we have no choice. We have to suspend.
Well,
it's consistent.
Yeah,
though.
That's the way it should be. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's the act, it's not the person, and that's consistency.
Well, and this quote from Nicholson, I understand it. I mean, you got to say, you're going to support your guy
support
in the
critical
your guy,
point
absolutely. Of the season. But
probably also disappointed. That's probably the final nail in the coffin.
Well, I think that was a long time ago, but that's what I wanted.
It's like final. It's like, right. You're probably going to lose 2
But that's what I wanted to ask you, Bob, based on who you're talking to and the buzz out of Edmonton. I mean, is anyone in there saying, why? Like, maybe a top pick isn't the worst thing in the world now? I mean, are they actually all in on the playoffs, or what are they
going to
do?
Well, I mean, hey, listen, whatever it is whatever it is. I don't think they're not sitting there saying, let's make a deal to try and put us over the top. And they're not sitting there saying, let's just, you know, I was going to say, who are they going to get rid of that would make an appreciable? They're not trading Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Darnell Nurse, or any of those guys. So they're kind of in no man's land right now. They're, you know, Keith Gretzky is trying to help the next general manager as much as he can. He's trying to offload some contracts. He's trying to free up some cap room. They may or may not trade Alex Chiasson at the deadline. There's probably a market for him if they could get a second round pick, or they could get a prospect for a guy they signed as a free agent at the beginning of the season who's got 17 goals, although 16 of them were scored by probably January 1, and there's only been one since then, I think, or something along those lines. yeah, then they would move him. But they're also running out of bodies there. Juju Okwara is out for a couple of weeks. Puljujarvi might be out for the rest of the season. He's going to get a second opinion on his injury, although they were thinking of sending him to the minors anyways. They've got some kids that are playing pretty well in Bakersfield, but they don't want to bring them up and derail their development. The team's playing well down there. The kids are developing. Don't bring them into this environment, you know, which might be fairly toxic down the stretch here. So they're just kind of doing what they can do within reason, and Keith Gretzky's keeping an eye out for opportunities that may or may not exist.
Enjoy your weekend, Bob. Try to turn the phone off for a couple of hours. Just chill out if
that's,
you can.
That's not going to happen, but at the end of the day, you know what I always like to say?
There he goes. He's out. He's got bigger and better things to do. Yeah, I love it. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.
Come Tuesday. I think he'll disappear for a day or two.
He's a guy you want to shadow on Tuesday because he's living his best life on Tuesday.
That's probably a trip out to the cabin for him or whatever he calls it, the lake shore.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cold up there, though.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can sit inside.
I think
look
he's.
At the view, have
they're
a glass
all
of
in
wine.
On that one day, though. Like, they're here at 7.
Hey.
Oh, he's still here. Bobby Tuesday. Matt, he's still here. What happened? Which phone call did you take?
Oh, no,
whose call
no,
did you take?
I was just having fun, but
okay,
you're not going to be here for a day.
Tuesday. Let's see. Tuesday. Yeah, right now we've got insider trade. I'm looking at my thing here. Tuesday I got Vancouver radio. I got an appointment at the gym. I got Ottawa radio. I potentially have insider trading, although I suspect we're going to get the Quizmaster to cancel that one.
Yeah.
And then I've got Overdrive. That's what's on my Tuesday schedule. And there might even be, I'm not sure if that's hockey that night. But then Wednesday I go back to NBC, and it's a regular work week. But
the tropics are calling your name, though, Bob.
But, yeah, well, Saturday, March 2nd, I've got it here, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Air Canada Rouge, flights 1620 to Fort Lauderdale, because I've got to get a day early to cover the GM's meetings. Days early.
Right.
To cover the GM's meetings that start on Monday, March 4th.
Well, you're a professional.
That's a veteran move.
So no time off.
We'll believe that when we see it.
You could sprinkle in some relaxation.
Right,
that's
some load
need.
Management to take a phrase out of the NBA. Load management.
As I like to say.
Okay, is that it this time?
Get rid of him.
Is he done? He's gone?
No, you've cut him off.
We can't have him trolling us anymore. There's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.